بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the saying of the author, rahimahullah, فَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مُؤْمِنٌ حَقًّا فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِعٌ وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مُؤْمِنٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنِّي مُؤْمِنٌ بِاللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُصِيبٌ وَالْمُرْجِئَةُ مُبْتَدِعَةٌ ضُلَّالٌ وَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ مِنْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَكُونُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَكُونَ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ وَأَنَّ الْجَهْمِيَّةَ كُفَّارٌ وَالرَّافِضَةَ رَفَضُوا الْإِسْلَامَ وَالْخَوَارِجَ مُرَّاقٌ. He said, rahimahullah, and the people, they are mu'minun, they are believers in regards to the rulings and inheritance. And no one knows what their true condition and reality is with Allah. Whoever says that he is a true believer, then he is an innovator. And whoever says that he is a believer according to Allah, then he is from the liars. And whoever said, indeed I am a believer in Allah, then he is correct. The murji'ah are misguided innovators. Whoever from amongst them rejects that Allah knows what was to be before it was, then he is a kafir. The Jahmiyyah are disbelievers. The Rafida have rejected Islam. And the Khwarij are murraq. They are dissenters. So in this passage, the author, he mentions a number of deviant sects who we will go through. But he begins by saying, وَالنَّاسُ مُؤْمِنُونَ فِي أَحْكَامِهِمْ وَمَوَارِيثِهِمْ وَلَا يَدْرِي مَا هُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That people, they are believers, they are mu'minun, according to the rulings and their inheritance. And we do not know how they are with Allah. Meaning, if a person shows us Islam apparently, that which we see from him is Islam on the outside. So he prays Salah with us, and he gives Zakah, and he has a Muslim name, and he faces the Qibla, and he eats Muslim halal meat, and he fasts with us, and performs Hajj with us, and so on and so forth. Then this person, we have to accept that he is a Muslim and a Mu'min. We don't doubt his Islam, we don't doubt his Iman. As long as we can see from the outside that he is a Muslim in terms of the actions which he generally does, then we have to accept that he is a Muslim. In two things, fi ahkamihim wa mawarithihim. When it comes to the rulings of the dunya, and also when it comes to the inheritance. I.e. that this person, if he gives you salam, then you reply your salam to him. If he invites you for food or a walima, then you accept his invitation. If he becomes ill, then you visit him. If he passes away, then you attend his janazah. And you consider him to be like a brother to you. And you show him goodness. And you help him stay away from evil. And repel harm from him. And if he is hungry, you feed him from your food. If he does not have clothing, you give him from your clothing. If he does not know, you advise him, you teach him, and so on and so forth. So a person who shows us Islam apparently, just from the outside, we don't know what is in his heart, but from the outside he shows us Islam, then we have to fulfill every ruling of Islam with regards to him. Supplicating for him, making istighfar for him, burying him in the graveyard of the Muslims, washing his dead body, shrouding him, praying the janazah over him, and the other rulings like this. And also the mawarith, when it comes to the inheritance. That if he dies upon this state, and we only know what is on the outside, then then his relatives inherit from him. And if his relatives die, then he inherits the wealth of his relatives. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari in Muslim, لا يرث المسلم الكافر ولا يرث الكافر المسلم. the Muslim does not give his inheritance to a kafir, and the kafir cannot give his inheritance to a Muslim. So if a person had a father who was not a Muslim, then it isn't allowed for you to accept inheritance from him. And similarly, if a father had a son who was a non-Muslim and the father was a Muslim, it isn't allowed for the son to inherit from the wealth of the father. So in both cases, as long as a person, he shows his Islam on the outside, meaning he's with us, he eats with us, he prays with us, he faces the same Qibla, so on and so forth, then the rulings of the dunya apply to him, and also after death in terms of the inheritance, it is applied to him. وَلَا يُدْرَى مَا هُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. However, when it comes to with Allah, then we don't know. So for this reason, we can never guarantee and say about Fulan that he will enter into Jannah. It isn't allowed for us to bear witness that a Muslim will or has entered into Jannah. Unless it's those people whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave witness to. So the four Khulafa and the six others who made the 10 who were given the glad tidings to Jannah, and Bilal radiallahu anhu, and those who fought the Battle of Badr, and those who gave the Pledge of Allegiance under the tree Bay'atul Ridwan, so on and so forth. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam bore witness that they as individuals will enter into Jannah, then we have yaqeen they will enter into Jannah. Anybody else who dies apart from them, from the rest of the Muslims, we are not allowed to have certainty that Fulan will enter into Jannah. Because it's possible that this person was a munafiq, like someone at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he showed us Islam, but on the inside he was a hypocrite. He was hiding kufr. Or it's possible that he did actions of Islam, and then he broke his Islam, or he invalidated his Islam by doing another action. So for this reason, it isn't allowed for us to do this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even the munafiqoon who were living in Al-Madinah, he would treat them like Muslims, because he would go by what was apparent on the outside. In fact, the head of the munafiqun, and his name was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, when he died, and he was Ra'sul Munafiqeen, the leader of the munafiqun, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed the janazah over him. Why? Because on the outside he showed Islam. It was inside he was hiding kufr. But then Allah revealed the ayah. He said, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. Do not ever pray over any one of them. And that's because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving revelation that Fulan is a munafiq. So from that day onwards, he then never prayed above them. But before that, he used to pray above them. So we can only judge a person by that which is apparent. We can never look into the hearts of a person. We can never look to the intentions of a person and judge them. And this is the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, "Kana fi ahdi an-nabi," that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Kana yanzil al-wahi," the revelation, it would come down, and the revelation would say, "Fulan is a Muslim, Fulan is a kafir, Fulan is a munafiq." Walakin al-an inqata al-wahi. But now there's no more revelation. Now that the Prophet has passed away, there's no more revelation. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْنَا بِالظَّوَاهِرِ. So the only thing that we can now judge by is that which is apparent. So if on the outward somebody is doing actions of Islam, then we say he is a Muslim. And if on the outward he's doing actions of kufr, then we say that this person is a kafir. But and we treat him as a Muslim. The person who is doing actions of Islam, we treat him as a Muslim in this life. As for with Allah in the Akhirah, then we cannot say for certain that he is in Jannah, or we say for certainty that he is in Jahannam. And also, it isn't allowed to say that Fulan is a Shaheed. So we're not allowed to give a name and say, for example, Sheikh Fulan al-Shaheed, the martyr. Because when you say that Fulan is a Shaheed, then you are bearing witness that he has entered into Jannah. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimullah, he has a chapter in his Sahih, and it is called Bab La Yuqalu Fulanun Shaheed. The chapter, it is not said that Fulan is a Shaheed. We are not allowed to use this term in an absolute sense regarding somebody. But what we say, Fulan is shaheed insha'Allah. This is what is permitted. Fulan is shaheed insha'Allah. As for saying somebody is shaheed, then this is not allowed. And Al-Hafid ibn Hajar, in the explanation of Sahih Bukhari, he said, أي على سبيل القطع بذلك إلا إن كان بالوحي. That we're not allowed to say Fulan is a shaheed, as if we're saying absolutely that he has entered into Jannah, unless there is wahi. When wahi comes, when revelation comes, then whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called shaheed, then we call shaheed. So that was the first issue. That from the aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah is we judge people according to their apparent actions. So whoever is a Muslim on the outside, outwardly he is a Muslim, then the rulings of the dunya, like giving him salam and returning salam and eating from his meat and praying behind him and so on and so forth, marrying from him, we treat him like a Muslim, and also the inheritance. But when it comes to the akhirah, then we never guarantee somebody is from the people of Jannah, and we never guarantee that somebody is a shaheed. We do not say somebody is a shaheed unless you say insha'Allah. And then the author said, فَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مُؤْمِنٌ حَقًّا فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِعٌ. And whoever said about himself, I am a true mu'min, I am a true believer, then he is an innovator. وَمَنْ قَالَ هُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And whoever said, I am a mu'min with Allah, then he is from the liars. But whoever said, إِنِّي مُؤْمِنٌ بِاللَّهِ. Whoever says, I am a believer in Allah, meaning I believe in Allah, then he is the one who is correct. So it isn't allowed for a person to say that I am a true believer, I am a true mu'min. Why? Because this enters into tazkiyatun nafs. A person is praising himself, recommending himself. And Allah said in the Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah said, do not praise yourself, because Allah is more knowing of who has taqwa amongst you. So if a person says, I am a believer, حَقًّا, truthfully I am a believer. Iman has many different branches. Does a person know his salah is being accepted by Allah? Does a person know that his tawheed, maybe some shirk and some riyah has entered into it and not invalidated it? A person does not know. And all those signs of the believers, that like Allah said, innamal mu'minuna alladhina idha dhukirallah wajilat qulubuhum. The believers, when Allah is mentioned with them, their hearts tremble. So when you say you are a mu'min in Allah, haqqan, does your heart tremble when Allah is mentioned? And does your iman increase when the ayat of Allah mentioned, and all those other signs that the Prophet mentioned about the mu'minun, are they all true in you? And for this reason, it isn't allowed for a person to say, I am a believer haqqan, I am a believer absolutely, truthfully I am a believer. And the reason why the author mentions that this is from the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah is because the murji'a at that time, their belief was that iman, it is knowing Allah. If you know Allah in your heart, you are a believer. And others said that iman, it is tasdiqul qalb, it is testifying in the heart. As long as your heart testifies that Allah is the truth, then you are an absolute believer. Your iman is like the iman of Abu Bakr and like the iman of Umar. So they said, al-iman, it is ma'rifatul qalb, iman, it is knowledge of the heart. Thus say. So if you know Allah exists, and Abu Bakr knows Allah exists, and Umar radiallahu anhuma knows Allah exists, then your iman and the iman of Khulafa Rashidin, it is equal. So to stay away from this, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they used to say that it isn't allowed for a person to say, I am a believer absolutely, or I am a believer truthfully. Inni mu'minun haqqan, inni mu'minun haqqan. Naam. But what a person can say is, ana mu'minun insha'Allah, I am a believer insha'Allah. And this issue, the ulama, they cover it in the books of Aqidah. It is called al-istithna. In the future, when we read other books, you'll find mas'alatul istithna, meaning, is it allowed for a person to say, I am a mu'min insha'Allah? Is this allowed or is this not allowed? And this issue, is it allowed for a person to say inshallah after saying he's a mu'min or a Muslim? There's some detail to it. So if a person is saying inshallah as a form of doubt, that I'm a believer inshallah, meaning maybe I am, maybe I'm not, then this is kufr and this is not allowed. Because from the conditions of la ilaha illallah is yaqeen, and yaqeen means certainty. So if you have doubt or you make any statement which shows doubt in your iman, then this is haram and this is kufr, yarhamkullah. So this is not allowed. And also the meaning of iman is al-iman al-jazim or al-iman al-mutayaqqan, is firm, absolute, certain iman, which has no doubt in it. So a person is not allowed to say, I am a mu'min or I am a Muslim, inshallah, if he means by saying inshallah a level of doubt. But if he's saying, I am a mu'min inshallah, because he doesn't want to purify himself or praise himself, he doesn't want to do tazkiyatun nafs, then this is allowed. And if a person is saying, I am mu'minun inshallah, to tell a person that it is because of the will and the decree of Allah I am a mu'min, then this is also something which is allowed. So saying, Ana mu'minun inshallah, mas'alatul istithna. It is called mas'alatul istithna. It has three scenarios. Either you say it and you're doubting your iman, this is kufr. Or you say it because you want to stay away from tazkiyatun nafs, praising yourself, this is correct. Or you say it because you're giving information to the people that I am a believer because of the will of Allah and the decree of Allah and the virtue of Allah, then this is correct. And is it allowed for a person to make istithna in dua? That a person says, oh Allah, forgive me, in shi'ta, if you want. Or Allah will forgive you, Allah will give you shafa, if He wills, inshallah. Is this allowed or not? In this situation, it isn't allowed. So when it comes to saying, Ana mu'minun inshallah, then it is allowed according to the scenario which we mentioned. When it comes to the dua, then a person is not allowed to say, oh Allah, forgive me if you will, or Allah will give you a cure if He wills, then this is not permitted. And this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, La yaqul ahadukum, Allahumma ghfir li in shi'ta. None of you should say, oh Allah, forgive me if you will. Allahumma arhamni in shi'ta. Oh Allah, have mercy on me if you will. فَلْيَعْزِمَ الْمَسْأَلَةَ وَلْيُعَظِّمَ الرَّغْبَةَ. But be sure and determined in what you're asking Allah and have a strong desire. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا مُكْرِهَ لَهُ. Because Allah, nobody forces him to do anything. This is the wording of the hadith. And a person might say, then what about when somebody is ill, you say, لَا بَأْسْ طُهُورٌ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. And the ulama mentioned that this is not a dua. This is from the angle of khabar and information. You're giving him information that it's not a problem, it's only purification for you, inshallah. So, min bab al khabar, from the angle of giving information, you are allowed to say inshallah. But when it comes to making a dua, then you're not allowed to say inshallah. وَمَنْ قَالَ هُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And whoever said, I am a believer according to Allah, then he is a liar. Because how do you know whether your iman has been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? How do you know whether Allah has written you to be from the people of Jannah, to be from the people of Jahannam, na'udhu billah. But the one who says, inni mu'minun billah, I am a believer in Allah, then this is the person who is correct. So it is not allowed for a person to say, inni mu'minun haqqan, I am a true believer. Neither is it allowed for a person to say, inni mu'minun inda Allah, I am a believer according to Allah. But a person can say, inni mu'minun insha'Allah, or a person can say, inni mu'minun billah, I am a believer in Allah. After this, he mentioned a number of sects, and these were the classical sects of the people of innovation. Firstly, al-murji'ah. He said, wal-murji'ah, Mubtadi'atun dhullal. The murji'a, they are innovators and they are misguided. And we said that the murji'a are those people who took iman out of actions. Iman, according to Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, what is it? Who knows the definition of Iman according to Ahlu Sunnah? Ya Ahlu Sunnah. I'tiqadun bil qalb, qawlun bil lisan, amalun bil jawarih, yazidu wa yanqus. Ahlu Sunnah, they say, Iman, it is a belief in the heart, it is a statement upon the tongue, it is actions upon the limbs, it increases and decreases. The Murji'ah came along, and they said actions are not from Iman. Or they said Iman does not increase and neither does it decrease. Those Murji'ah, this group, he said they are Mubtadi'atun Dullal. They are innovators and they are misguided. And we mentioned previously how the Murji'ah are not all one level. There are four groups amongst the Murji'ah. The most extreme amongst them are called Al-Murji'ah Al-Ghulah. Al-Murji'ah Al-Ghulah, i.e. the extreme murji'ah. Or they are called al-murji'ah al-mahdha, or they are called murji'atul jahmiyyah, the murji'ah amongst the jahmiyyah. And they said that iman is just knowing Allah in the heart. So iman is ma'rifatullah and kufr is al-jahlu billah. Iman is knowing Allah and kufr is being ignorant of Allah. As long as you know Allah in your heart, then your iman is like the iman of Abu Bakr. So they are the most extreme murji'ah. Then the second level are the karamiyah. And the karamiyah, they said that iman, it is an-nutqu bil lisan. Iman is only a statement upon the tongue. As long as you say la ilaha illallah, doesn't matter what's in your heart, doesn't matter what you actually believe in, as long as you verbalize amantu billah, then you are a believer. The third group amongst the Murji'ah are the Asha'ira and the Maturidiyah. And they are the majority who are with us today. They say, Iman is Mujarrad At-Tasdiq Fil Qalb. That Iman is you believing in the heart. More than knowing Allah, you actually believe in Allah. As long as you believe with certainty in the heart, then this is Iman. And they said, as for actions and statements, they do not enter into Iman. And then the fourth group are called Murji'atul Fuqaha. And they say Iman is a belief in the heart and a statement upon the tongue. And although actions are not from Iman, but if you do the actions, you are rewarded and your Iman increases. And if you don't do the wajibat, then you are punished and your Iman decreases. The first three groups, they are Mubtadi'atun Dullal. They are the innovators who are misguided. Those who said that Iman is only knowing Allah, Murji'atul Jahmiyyah. And those who said Iman is only stating upon the tongue, Al-Karramiyyah. And the Asha'ira today who say that Iman is Tasdiqun Bil-Qalb. These are the Mubtadi'ah. These are the innovators. As for Murji'atul Fuqaha, the last group, the ulama don't call them innovators. In fact, some of them even say Murji'atu Ahl Sunnah. Why? Because even though they say actions are not from Iman, so this is how they have gone against Ahl Sunnah. But they still say that actions are required and you have to do the wajibat and you have to stay away from the haram. And if you do the wajib, then Allah rewards you. And if you do the haram, then Allah punishes you and so on and so forth. So for this reason, they are called Murji'atul Fuqaha or Murji'at Ahl Sunnah. And as I mentioned, as for Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say that Iman is a statement and actions and belief, and it increases in obedience and decreases in disobedience. And then after this, he spoke about the Qadariyah. He said, Wal Qadariyah Mubtadi'atun Dullal. And also the Qadariyah, those who negated that Allah has a decree, they are also innovators and they are misguided. The Qadariyah are two levels. There are those amongst them who said that Allah does not have knowledge of that which will occur in the future. They're the most severe level. They said Allah does not have knowledge of that which occurs in the future. They are kuffar. And regarding them, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, in his famous statement, he said, فَإِذَا لَقِيتَ أُولَٰئِكَ فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَهُمْ بُرَأَوْا مِّنِّي. That if you meet one of them, either Qadariyah, then tell them I am free from them and they are free from me. And he said, لو أن لأحدهم مثل أحد ذهبا فأنفقه ما قبل الله منه حتى يؤمن بالقدر. He said, one of them, at that level of qadariyya, if they had the Mount Uhud's worth in gold and then they gave it in the way of Allah, Allah would not accept it from them until they believe in Al-Qadr. So whoever disbelieves in Al-Qadr has left the fold of Al-Islam. They were the most extreme. They said Allah does not have knowledge of what will happen in the future. The second group, they believe that Allah has knowledge of everything which occurs in the future, but they say that Allah has not created or Allah has not willed for sinning to take place. Or they would say that Allah created the people, but He didn't create their actions. And Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say that Allah created the people and He created their actions. وَالْقَدْرُ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ. And the decree, the good of it and the bad of it, all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said in the Quran, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the creator of everything. And how can we say that Allah decrees the good and the bad? Because why did the Qadariyya come out with these statements? They said that if we say Allah has decreed the evil and Allah has decreed for the bad to occur in this dunya, then that means He's evil and He's an oppressor, na'udhu billah. So because they wanted to free Allah from these, then some of them said Allah does not have any knowledge of that which will occur in the future. And some of them said, no, Allah has knowledge, but He doesn't create the sinning and the bad matters. And Ahlul Sunnah say, everything is created by Allah. Nothing occurs in this dunya, good or bad, without the knowledge of Allah, and without it being written, and without it being decreed and executed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, the ulama say that ash-shar, the evil, it isn't in the decree of Allah, it is in what has been decreed. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in everything which He has decreed, there is always a hikmah. Whether you think it is something good, or whether you think it is something bad on the in that which is apparent, but Allah has a hikmah in everything. So anything which has hikmah in it cannot be called evil. Why? Because it has hikmah in it. And anything which has a hikmah behind it, it cannot be called evil. So even if we see something evil in this dunya, because Allah decreed it with a hikmah, when it comes to Allah, it cannot be counted as being evil. So they say, "Ash-sharru fil maqdur la fil qadr," that the evil is in that which has been decreed, not in the decree of Allah. Because the decree of Allah, all of it is wisdom. Secondly, they say that evil, it is relative. The same thing, the same action, if it's done in one way, it is evil. And if the same action is done in another way, it is not evil. And we always give the example of killing. So if the killing is done to slaughter an animal to make it halal, it is good. If the killing is done al-jihad fi sabilillah, it is good. If the killing is done to fulfill or execute the punishments of Allah, it is goodness. The same action, killing, if it is done out of injustice, oppression, violence, then it becomes evil. So even the evil which Allah has decreed for it to happen, then that is relative. Also, if you take the ulama say that there is nothing which is absolute evil in this dunya, there is nothing which is sharrun mahv. Even Iblis la'natullah, if there was anybody or anything which was absolute 100% evil, then we would say it is Iblis. But had it not been for Allah decreeing the existence of Iblis, then there would be no jihad fi sabillah, and there would be no da'wah, and there would be no al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. If there was no Iblis, then there would be no al-wala wal bara, and there would be no reason to send the messengers, and no reason to reveal the books, and there would be no reason to create Jannah and create Jahannam. So even in the decree of Iblis existing, we see there's some goodness or there's some wisdom when it comes to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, وَأَنَّ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ كُفَّارِ. And as for the Jahmiyyah, then they are also disbelievers. And the Jahmiyyah, they are a sect who are ascribed to a person called Al-Jahm ibn Safwan. And this man, Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, he was a student of Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham. Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham, he came along and he said, Allah did not take Ibrahim alayhi salam to be his Khalil, to be his beloved friend, and neither did Allah speak to Musa alayhi salam. This is where he started. He started by saying, Allah does not take Ibrahim alayhi salam to be his beloved friend, his Khalil, and also Allah did not speak to Musa alayhi salam. Why did he say this? He said that for Allah, the most mighty, the greatest, and he takes a human being as a beloved friend, and he speaks to a prophet, this is a weakness and a deficiency and an imperfection when it comes to the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that the that of Allah is so great and so magnificent, why does he need to take a friend from amongst the humans, a beloved friend, and why does he need to speak to somebody from amongst the humans? So he intended to free Allah from deficiencies and weaknesses, and therefore he fell into this statement. He started off by saying that I do not believe Allah speaks and Allah loves. This is the first thing. And then he ended up by saying that Allah does not have any names, nor does he have any attributes at all. We cannot give Allah a name, neither can we give Allah any attribute. And it is mentioned in one of the stories that this Ja'd ibn Dirham, he started reading from the philosophy of the Hunud, of the Indians. And he came across a people called As-Sumaniyya. And this group of philosophers from amongst the Indians, they only accept that which the five senses can physically see. Like that which they see or hear or smell or taste or touch, they say this is what we believe in. Anything which we cannot prove by one of our five senses, then we do not accept its existence. So they came to Ja'd ibn Dirham and they said to him, have you seen your Lord? No. Have you physically heard your Lord? Have you touched your Lord? Have you smelt your Lord? And so on and so forth. So when he said no, then they said, therefore he does not exist. And this led Ja'd ibn Dirham to doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he started doubting whether Allah exists. It is mentioned that for 40 nights he abandoned the prayer. He abandoned Salah because of the doubts of the philosophers. Then in order to encounter these doubts in his mind, he said, I believe in Allah, but he has to be somebody who has no names and absolutely no description and no attributes. And in reality, the only thing which has no names and no descriptions and qualities is what? Is nothing. So if I say to you, describe to me something which is not tall nor is it short. It's not in or out. It's not strong or weak. It's not above or low. It's not near or close. It's not strong or weak. It doesn't have any names, any descriptions, any qualities. The only thing you could mention is nothing. Because any entity, any entity has to have certain sifat. It has to have certain descriptions and attributes and qualities. Otherwise, we would not call it a that. So in reality, he was describing nothing. And this Ja'd ibn Dirham, the ulama of that time, they gave a fatwa that he is a kafir. Why? Because he is disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is equating Allah to being nothing. He has come out with something which nobody else came out with. Allah says in the Quran, he spoke to Musa alayhi salam. Ja'd ibn Dirham says, no, Allah did not speak to him. Allah says that he loved Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ja'd says, no, he did not love Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the ulama of that time, 500 of them, they issued a fatwa that this person is a disbeliever. And they ordered the Amir al-Mu'min of that time to kill him. And the Amir al-Mu'min of that time, his name was Khalid ibn Abdullah al-Qusari. And he was the Amir of al-Iraq. And they say that on Yawm al-Eid, Eid al-Adha, he stood to give up, to give the khutbah. And he bought al-Ja'ad and he was chained in shackles. And then when he brought to him, after finishing the khutbah, he turned to the people. He said, "Dhahu taqabbal Allah dhahayakum." He said, go offer your slaughtering, may Allah accept your slaughtering, I go perform al-udhiyah, فَإِنِّي مُضَحِّن بِالْجَعْدِ ابْنُ الدِّرْهَمِ, because I am going to slaughter al-Ja'd ibn al-Dirham. And there in front of the people, he slaughtered al-Ja'd ibn al-Dirham for this kufr and this khubth which he came out with. So in reality, the Jahmiyyah, they come from him. The Jahmiyyah, they should be called al-Ja'diyyah because of him. But he was slaughtered. However, he had a student called Jahm ibn Safwan. And this Jahm ibn Safwan, through other ways, and through masking his aqidah and using different doubts, he was able to spread the aqidah of the Jahmiyyah. And therefore the Jahmiyyah, this group, it is ascribed to him. And the ulama at that time, they used to call the Jahmiyyah kuffar. They used to hold them to be disbelievers. In fact, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, al-Imam rahimullah, he said, "Inna nastajizu wa nahki kalam al-Yahud wa al-Nasara, وَلَا نَسْتَجِيزَ النَّحْكِ كَلَامُ الْجَهْمِيَّةِ." He said, we permit for the speech of the Jews and the Christians to be narrated, to be mentioned. We do not permit the speech of the Jahmiyyah to be mentioned or conveyed because of the khubth and the filth which it contains. Even al-Yahud wal-Nasara, even they believe in the existence of a God or of Allah who is the Almighty, the Strong, who is above, so on and so forth. If you leave alone their shirk, but even they believe that the Supreme Creator, Allah, He has certain attributes. Whereas Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham and Jahm ibn Safwan, they said that He is nothing. No attributes, no names, no descriptions, nothing. وَالرَّافِضَ رَفَضُ الْإِسْلَامِ. And as for the Rafida, then they have rejected Al-Islam. And the Rafida are those people who have many shirkiyat and many innovations with them. And it is the only religion which is based upon lying and hatred of the disciples of a prophet. Judaism, Christianity, at the least you can say it is based upon virtues such as speaking the truth and honesty and respecting the disciples of Jesus like they mention in their own religion. Only the Rafida, they base the religion on treachery and lying and then making takfir of the disciples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On top of that, they worship Alul Bayt, shirk, and they give a status to the Imams which is higher than the angels and the prophets, which is Al-Kufr, and they say that they have Ilmul Ghaib, and they make takfir upon the majority of the Sahaba. The majority of the Sahaba, with them, they are Kuffar. And if I'm not incorrect, Shaykh Hussain ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he mentioned that the only Muslims that they have with them after the death of the Prophet is 16 or 17 Sahaba. Apart from the 16 or 17 Sahaba who remained alive after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to them, the rest of them are kuffar. And also, they believe that the Quran, it is deficient. And they say that as for Mus'haf Fatima, that is two-thirds more than what is with the Quran now. I mean, the Quran right now is only a third of the real Quran. And why are they called Rafida? Because there was a time in history in which the Shia, or Shi'atu Ali, the supporters of Ali radiallahu anhu, in which they differed amongst each other. And this was during the Khilafah of a ruler from the Umayyin called Hisham ibn Abdul Malik. So the Shi'atu Ali, they differed amongst each other. So they bought Al-Imam Zayd ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Aif, the great grandson of Ali radiallahu anhu, they bought him forward and his name was Zayd. And they said that you be a judge amongst us to solve this dispute which is between or within this party. The first thing they requested from him is, show us you are a true Shi'i by making la'an upon Shaykhain Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah, and free yourself from them. But he refused to do so. Rafada. He, Zayd ibn Ali ibn Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu ajma'in, he refused to curse them. He refused to free himself from them. Rather, he said radiallahu anhumah, and he made dua for them. Farafaduhu. So then, that group from amongst the Shia, they rejected the Imam of Zayd ibn Ali. So when they rejected him because he didn't free himself from Abu Bakr and Umar, Then they were known as Al-Rafidah. And on the other side you have the Zaydiyah. And the Zaydiyah are those people who on that day they supported Al-Imam Zayd ibn Ali and they remained with him. So from that day onwards the Shia, they broke up into two main groups. The Rafidah and the Zaydiyah. The Zaydiyah are much less severe than the Rafidah. So they do not insult the companions and they do not insult the wives of the Prophet. But they say that Ali radiallahu anhu was more deserving of the Khilafah over Uthman radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So the Zaydiyah, they are innovators. La shak, they are innovators. As for the Rawafid, then they are kuffar. Because the shirkiyat which they have. And also amongst them are the Nusayriyah. And the Nusayriyah are the most severe of the Rafidah. And they believe, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَلَّ فِي عَلِي. That Allah Azza wa Jal, He manifests Himself in Ali. And they are kuffar without doubt. And then you have the Mukhatti'ah. And the Mukhatti'ah are those people who say that Jibreel alayhi salam, he was wrong. Instead of going to Muhammad sallallahu, instead of going to Ali radiallahu anhu with the Risala, instead he went to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So them two are the most extreme when it comes to kufr. And then the rest of the Rawafid, like the Ithna Ashariya, like those of Iran, they are kuffar. As for the Zaydiyah, then they are innovators and not kuffar. Wallahu a'lam. And finally he said, wal khawariju murraq. As for the Khawarij, then they have passed through the religion. And this word murraq, from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, yamruquna min ad-dini kama yamruqu as-sahm min ar-ramiyah. That they, the Khawarij, they will pass through the religion, in and then out of the religion, just as an arrow, it passes through the hunted animal. And based upon this, some from amongst the ulama said that the Khawarij are not Muslims. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Yamruquna min ad-din." They enter and they leave the religion like an arrow enters and it leaves. Amongst them, Al-Imam Ahmad, in one of the narrations of his, that he considered them to be kuffar. But that which is correct is that they are innovators and they are not kuffar. And this is what the Sahaba alayhi radwanullah were upon. And the Khawarij are those people who were known for their ibadah. And they were known for their zuhud. And they were known for their memorization of the Qur'an. At that time, many of the Khawarij, they were the Hufad al-Qur'an and the Qurra of the Qur'an. And it would be said regarding them that they are ruhbanun fil layl wa usudun fil nahar. They are the monks of the night because they spend all night in tahajjud. And they are the lions of the day because of the courage and the bravery they have in fighting on the battlefield. This was known regarding the Khawarij. So nobody should be deceived nowadays by the fact that, but how can they be Khawarij and they've given up so much wealth and they have with them Hufadh of the Quran and they make this, they are fighting on the battlefield and they're killing this country and so on and so forth. But that which they lacked in those days is the same thing which they lack today, and that is knowledge. So they never had a scholar from amongst the Sahaba with them then, and neither will they ever have a scholar with them today in this day. Finally, a person might say, why do we need to study about the Jahmiya and the Mu'tazila and the Qadariya and the Murji'ah nowadays? This is something which was a long time ago. Those sects have come and gone and they don't exist today. And the only person who thinks that these sects do not exist today is a person who either doesn't know who the Jahmiyyah and the Murji'ah and the Mu'tazila are, or who doesn't know reality. There are many people today who have the very doubts that these deviated groups had. And there's an individual, and I'll mention his name, even though we don't usually mention names. Perhaps some of you will know of him, Shabir Ali. And he's all over YouTube. He's famous for debating the Christians. And in his debates against the Christians, he is very good. He always outwits all of the Christians, and his debates are all over on the internet on YouTube. He's Canadian, I think Canadian Indian. But when it comes to his Islamic beliefs, then he's Qadari. And he believes that Allah does not know of that which will happen in the future. And I myself, I'd read this from him a long time ago, And recently when I was in Birmingham, a brother confirmed it for me. And also the majority of the liberals, the liberal Muslims and the secular Muslims and the modern Muslims inverted commas and the European Muslim inverted commas, the majority of them will have the doubts of the Jahmiyyah or the Mu'tazila. Why? Because the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila and the Murji'ah, what was the asal that their beliefs came to? That the intellect is given precedence over the athar. Al-aqlu yuqaddam ala al-naql. The intellect comes first and then the naql, i.e. the ayat and the hadith, that comes second. And this is found everywhere with many of the deviated sects today. So it's important for us that we learn about these sects and learn about the doubts of these sects so we can protect ourselves and protect our children. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.